JQ went in on 15 minutes ago. Radio.
JQ was here early.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's get it.
Oh, yeah, people. Let's go.
Woo-hoo.
We came to bring it to you tonight, people. Y'all ready for this?
At least two of us came for it. America! Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It's Wednesday, hump day, once again.
Mike. Sorry. I can't help it.
No, JQ, you do that, bro. You do you, man. I'm hanging with some fellas who put some good time into the combine. Maybe their draft stock has risen. I don't know. We'll check in. That's what we like to do. The aftermath. We're going to talk about a lot of things in college football. We got some rumors. We got Robert's mock draft. We even got a little interesting situation about the Jameis, where he's gonna go. Duncan, we're gonna talk about that. But again, let's kick us off, my man. I hear you. To my man, JQ, firing all cylinders. How you feeling this evening, bro?
Oh, I can't complain, man. I'm living life. Just on my way back home here to talk on the show. So if you hear some rain and whatnot, I'm in the car, but I'm on my way to, safer pastures here in about 3 minutes. So I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing good, and I'm going to always tell you to please, please, please be careful, bro. We need you as always, man. So just be careful on the streets
and
make it to your destination safely, as we always like to say. All right. Checking in with my other man, Mr. Robert Ford, a.k.a. just sliding in right on time. He does not subscribe to the Tom Coughlin Ford of being on time for meetings. He's already late. What's up, Rob?
Hey, man. Y'all need to get with the program, man. Y'all got to step it up, Doc.
He didn't have nothing to say. He had to figure out what. I give JQ just a huge shout out because, he was actually on at least 10 minutes early. I was, trying to dial in because Blockchop had some issues, but it's all good. So
10 minutes ain't good enough, man.
He was here about 15.
You don't talk about nobody.
Early.
You don't talk about nobody.
10 minutes ain't good enough, man.
Neither
program, man.
Jerry.
Y'all best thought.
Neither is 30 seconds.
Move on. Stay tuned, fellas. Curtis Gary, you guys are always kick it off because we always start with you guys. So stay tuned for your kickoff.
I get tired
of
getting frustrated because y'all not here 15 minutes early.
We're gonna and get the show started here. If you want to call into the show, call into your boys. The number is always the same signature. Call us in at the following. Call us at 424-243-9519. I got the number memorized. It's crazy. Again, 424-243-9519 off the cuff. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, Facebook.com/TalkingSports12thMan. We are in that arena as well. All right, gentlemen, let's kick it right off the gate. Talk about a little college football. And I know I got somebody holding. Let's get him in a quick second here. But we'll let Rob get off here. And then I can't wait to hear Curtis talk about his favorite quarterback, Patriots, Tom Brady, and where he's going to go if they can make a secure trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. But go ahead, Rob, with that quick start. And we got to jump in. We got to grab this call in a quick second, too. So go ahead, Rob.
Just a quick, few quick college basketball updates. Obviously, we are in March, so y'all know what that means, right? It means it's madness time, right? Everybody's getting in position for the tournament. So Indiana got a big home win to stay in contention and make the NCAA tournament. Excuse me, sorry about that. Tracy Jackson Davis had 18.9 boards for Indiana, got a big home win over the Minnesota Gophers. Providence came up big tonight. With a win at home over JQ's favorite team, Xavier, Alpha Diallo, and LaWayne Pipkins had 25 and 23 points respectively. Providence now 18 and 12. Overall, 11 and 6 in the Big East, which the Big East is pretty strong in basketball, of course, this year with Villanova, Seton Hall, you got Providence, you got Creighton. So you got a lot of big-time teams in that program. And also had the best matchup of the night in Big East and probably college basketball overall tonight was Villanova and Seton Hall. And Villanova goes on the road and gets a really good Seton Hall team, 79-77, in a big-time close matchup in the Big East. So that's just a quick rundown of some big college basketball matchups tonight.
Hey, Rob, are you watching the Florida State? The Florida State Notre Dame game? Are you watching the Florida State Notre Dame game?
Right now, I'm watching the Pelicans and the Mavericks.
Oh, you would, man. Okay, go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Damn it.
But go ahead and give us your Florida State Notre Dame update.
No, I'm in the car when I left here. Notre Dame had been up by 11. I think they were only up by 2. When I left to get in the car. So that's why I was asking you if you had an update, if you were watching.
Yeah, we'll try to get an update shortly. Obviously, Florida State, a team full of some big-time athletes, and Leonard Hamilton. I think their team, they lost to Clemson over the weekend in a big upset. But prior to that, I thought Florida State is a team that's capable of winning a national championship with the athletes they have on their team.
But Clemson's been upsetting a lot of people. So, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Clemson, I think, has knocked off Duke, Florida State. They knocked off Virginia. Clemson has, like, I think, 3 or 4 upsets this year where they've knocked people off. So you can't really hold all that all the way against them.
Absolutely.
Let's get our caller. What's up, caller? Tell me your name and all that fun stuff here. You can hold for a good time. What's up, man?
Good evening. This is Louis from New Jersey.
What's up, man?
Welcome back.
How you doing?
Yeah, I've been trying to look for you, but I found you.
Well, we're glad you found us. How you doing?
All right. Yeah. Oh, except for my Seno Pirates, which lost to Villanova. Yeah, yeah. Dirty, no good. The dog fight, though.
I'm playing good ball this year, though.
Yeah.
They are.
But that was a big-time matchup tonight.
Rivals. It was a tough matchup.
Yeah.
Get your thoughts. Yeah, get your thoughts in because we definitely want to get to our West Coasters here, Curtis and Gary, in real quick too, man. So give us some
West
thoughts
Coast,
real quick
yeah.
and all the good stuff. Huh?
Well, because they got one more game to play in the regular season, of course, but against one of our worst rivals, it's even worse than Villanova. We never beat Creighton.
Crazy, nah.
In fact,
yeah.
I want to start. I hate
Is that game in Creighton?
I think we're in big trouble.
Is that game in Nebraska or is it in New Jersey?
Yeah, it's in Nebraska.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play to go on the road and win. They have a great home court advantage, Creighton does, there in Omaha, Nebraska.
All the way to Omaha. Ugh.
Who the hell wants to go to Omaha? I'm taking vacation in Cleveland. Sorry, my bad.
I
wouldn't want to
go in the summertime.
I want to go ever, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just gonna be honest, I want to ever like, damn, I gotta go to Nebraska. Why are we going to down here, Nebraska? Like, I don't want to go to Nebraska. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Give me your thoughts.
You keep talking like that, JQ. One of your daughters gonna want them going to school there.
Right,
man. Why you gotta put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby? What about one of your kids?
Oh,
boy.
Oh man.
Yeah. So, but I'll be keeping my eye on that. Now, have you guys also been following the new XFL league?
Trying to.
I'll take that as a no.
No, I've been watching that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Some of it, some of the techniques they've been using, I like, you know, where they let you, you know, what's going on with the plays that, like, when they have penalties, they let you know what's going on instead of, like, you know, you're trying to figure out what they're saying. I like that. I like the multiple scoring positions after the touchdown. So it does have its good points.
Yeah.
But
I like the kickoff rule,
it,
too, to be honest.
You do?
I do. If you say,
well, I like
if you
that
say
it's insane.
You, go ahead.
I like some of the markets you said. I like that it's in St. Louis. There's a market that's probably starving for football. I think it needs to be in more markets that are starving for football. It's
Attendance is pretty good.
The attendance is pretty good. They got some TV contracts.
Yes.
And like I said before on this show, you can really see why there are some people that cannot be in the NFL. And we
right.
got a topic about
Jameis
Winston. And Jameis Winston may be in the XFL, and you
That's
may
funny.
See why Jameis Winston is not ready for pro football. We need Johnny
right.
Manziel in there. We need some other people to prove to some people why they weren't able to be in the NFL. And I like the fact that this is just more jobs. It's more jobs
I'll
for people
that.
Looking for jobs. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. If they ever do decide to expand, do you think they should go with teams that do have an NFL team, or should they go with teams and cities that do not have an NFL team?
I would say none. You know what my example would be? Oklahoma City. When they got New Orleans, when they got displaced by Hurricane
mm-hmm.
Katrina, look at how
right.
that just exploded in Oklahoma City, and now they are packed. Those people are there, like this Oklahoma State. I mean, they're ridiculous about the Thunder. So I would love for cities that don't necessarily have a team to get a team and be able to fully embrace it and get their arms around it and just develop it as their own, because there are a lot of markets that are longing for that kind of attention, that kind of a team camaraderie and adulation, and they don't have it. If you give them even a minor league, quote-unquote, football team, they get around it and they might make it something. So I'm all for that.
Would you take Nebraska?
I mean, I'm just saying.
That's
one of those, yeah.
I guess not.
I mean, I'll
just
really quickly, and I do want
no,
to do what you're doing, too. But I would say, just like you said, it's a good opportunity for the opportunity, right? So if you have an up and coming coach, you know, put your stamp on the game, create a new style, be creative. You know, we talked about
right.
some people that may not quite make it in the next level, you know, Curtis nailed it right as far as if you're kind of like an aging NFL star. Maybe this is your last opportunity. If you just love the game that much and you can care less about money and rules or whatever, you know, this is an opportunity
right.
for you to, you know, maybe again work on your skills or something like that, you know. But this is what the XFL is about. If you're starving for football, and like you said, those markets, you said that, Gary, that are starving for football, maybe get like a squad in Seattle or something like that that just needs something, you know. That's exactly what the XFL is supposed to be. That's my thoughts about that.
I won't take anything away from these guys that are playing in that, because that's, you know, they're playing, and all of these guys, even these guys that are on the practice squads of these NFL teams, are just studs. They're flat out, they're phenomenal athletes. So these guys that are playing this league and starting in this league, they're still phenomenal athletes. They may
yep.
not be quite there at the NFL. There are some of them that will somehow work their way into the NFL, I'm sure. But it's still fun to watch, and it's still good football.
And it still goes on.
Yeah.
Yes. Philly doesn't have a
Wrap
team
up your
either.
Car. What
maybe.
You got? Wrap up. What else you got? What else you got? We got to get through this here. Go ahead. What you got?
all right. And spring training has started, and the Yankees are on the injured list again.
Yeah, the news about Severino. Yeah, Severino having to go to undergo Tommy John surgery is a really big blow. And you know what's crazy about it is the whole wake of the Astros cheating scandal is that you actually had people who are indifferent or didn't like the Yankees because of the whole big market can get anybody they want were on their side. Like, oh, yeah, Aaron Judge got robbed that year, and then they start off on this bad foot with, you know, Severino being hurt, and I believe that Stanton is hurt, and he's probably not going to make opening day, and I think Judge is also in question for opening day. So that's a tough start to the season for the Yankees.
Well, no time is a good time to get injured, but at least it's happening now than, say, like in August when you're fighting for a playoff spot.
That's true. But Severino's done. So, I mean, he's done
until
2021. So he's a wrap. So about Judge and Stanton, yeah, you got a point. If you can get those guys back, I mean, they're the Yankees. They have a ton of talent. But those guys need to kind of just hold flow, because if you look at Boston trading away people, having turmoil, Tampa always is just that upstart team in that division. I really don't put a whole lot on Toronto, and Baltimore is Baltimore, a hot dumpster fire. So if you're New York, with all the talents you have, if you can just kind of stay afloat and at least get Stanton and Judge back, you still got a fighter's chance in that division right now as it's currently constructed.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be worried too much because if it was like last season, you know, we had to call up a lot from our AA and AAA, and they carried the load for us. But do it 2 years in a row, that's another question.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it 2 years in a row with this?
Yeah.
They have talent, though. I mean, the Severino, like I said, is a big blow, but they still have talent. They, you know, they got Buddy from Houston, Cole, and they got the other dude from the Mariners, I believe, a couple years ago. So, I mean, they still have talent. I mean, the way that Boston is running the organization where they can't play their luxury tax and they got to trade Mookie Betts, which is nuts, is still a recipe for the Yankees to have success in that division.
Right.
Yeah. All right, what's your last comment? Because we got to get through a lot of topics.
I'll be back.
Please be back.
Hey, man, we appreciate you.
We appreciate you calling in and giving us your shots.
Definitely,
and
thanks for calling. That was some really good topics. Seton Hall basketball. Of course, we can talk Yankees all day. I'll be okay with that. So definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Of course, you can talk Yankees all day. West Coasters, finally you get a chance to add your thoughts. So there's some word on the street. And this is actually becoming a lot serious than I anticipated because I thought it was just like a little joke. But, you know, the Patriots, right? Could they actually acquire Jimmy Garoppolo from the 49ers? What say you guys, West Coast? You guys are over there. Tell us your thoughts about what's happening on that side of the world.
Well, the first thing I would say is, you know, there was an update on some talks that Tom Brady had with Bill Belichick. And I guess the talks didn't go so well, and for Brady, he was making comments that it didn't go well. And what Curtis said is, well, you know, Belichick he's a cranky old fart anyway. And I thought, well, that's true, and he's probably not going to make the final decision on that. That's probably going to be Kraft, but he'll have some say in that. But what I said last week was I mentioned the 49ers, and I thought it would be I wouldn't want it because I hate the 49ers, but, boy, if Brady went there, you know, that would be devastating for us Cowboy fans because as a Cowboy fan, you know, we hate the 49ers, and I think that, for instance, if Brady was in that same scenario, that pass that Jimmy Guff overthrew in the Super Bowl, Brady would not have. Brady probably would have been right on the money. We'd have been talking a different story. So,
but Gary, let me ask you a quick question, Gary. You call him cranky, but if you want to be honest, this is who Bill Belichick has been. It's just that, you know, they haven't allowed him to do that to Tom Brady because he's Tom Brady. But you talk about all the other veterans that, you know, as they got older on the New England roster, he's got rid of them a year or two before they have been past prime and been willing to move on. He just hasn't been able to do that with Brady. So when I look at that from Belichick, I still look at that as that's been his M.O. It's just that Vinny Kraft has not allowed him to do that to Tom Brady because Tom Brady is freaking Tom Brady. But if you look at the rosters through the years of their dynasty, he's always been ahead of the curve of getting rid of a guy a year or two before they're past their prime, so he doesn't get stuck with them. So I'm not overly surprised about what he's doing. It's just that we just don't expect him to do that to Tom Brady.
Well, and I totally agree with you. I think both of those guys, though, are joined at the hip. And I know Curtis is chomping at the bit. He's got some words on that. Curtis, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the big topics out here out west on the radio stations were 7:30 left in the Super Bowl. San Francisco was up by 10 points. If it was Tom Brady in there instead of Garoppolo, does Tom Brady lose that game in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the consensus is out here, Tom Brady would have made the first down throws to keep them off the field, would have did enough offense to not let them get caught with a 10-point lead and 7 minutes left in the game. But it's a pipe dream to think that there's going to be a swap between those two teams. I don't understand any smart football people that want to make that deal in any way whatsoever. But what I think the Patriots are going to do, the Patriots are going to wait this out. And the Patriots are going to see what people are going to offer for Tom Brady. They're going to check the market. And they're betting on the market. They're going to check and they're going to match or they're going to better what anybody else is going to do. But everybody's curious, what is Tom worth? And right now the Patriots don't want to give him more than a year. They don't want to give him more than a year. And Tom wants more than a year.
As they should. He's going to be 43. I mean, I hear you, but I also know that, you know, Tom Brady also had, you know, the interior to save his butt in some of those Super Bowls where if he didn't have a strong enough kicker, maybe we're not talking about Tom Brady with six Super Bowls. So I hear what you're saying. Maybe he makes it closer, and then, you know, does Robbie Gould or whoever come through and clutch for him like Vinatieri did? Maybe so, but I still feel like he comes back to New England. I just don't – unless you're a team that has a young quarterback that you like, that you say, hey, I bring Tom Brady in, this young guy ain't ready, and I don't have a whole lot of pushback on not having this young guy start and let him learn at the feet of Tom Brady, then you're good. But if you trade Jimmy G, then if you're San Francisco drafting, what, 31st? Like, what quarterback are you going to get? Because Love is not going to be there anymore. So are you going to move up now if you're San Francisco to go get that young guy? Or do you say, I'm going to get him next year and hope that Tom Brady in that second year teaches him something? Yeah. Like, that's tough because he's still going to be 43 when the season starts.
Yeah. San Francisco is not trading Jimmy Garoppolo. And they're not trading him.
Say his name right.
But Tom Brady or anybody
else.
There's a reason. Right now, they are not trading Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think there's still blasphemy talk. And, you know, if anything, there might be a small window of them signing him and keeping Garoppolo, but I don't see that happening either. 49ers would be stupid to trade Garoppolo to New England for Tom Brady, who may play one or two more years. That's not happening. Kyle Shanahan may have made some dumb moves in a couple of Super Bowls, but I don't think he's that dumb.
That's John Lynch.
Yeah.
That would be John Lynch, though. That wouldn't be Shanahan. John Lynch is the GM, and he's a strong GM, so that's one I couldn't put on Shanahan. That would be a John Lynch decision.
Yeah, but I think Shanahan will have a lot of say in it, especially when it comes to the quarterback position or who he wants to be the quarterback of his offense. And I think that'll be a huge mistake of them trading Garoppolo, who's in his 20s, for somebody who's 43, who may only play one or two more years. If Brady leaves New England, I still don't think that's going to happen. It's not going to be San Francisco.
Yeah,
well,
I agree with that.
The only thing I would say on that is a 43-year-old Tom Brady is better than Garoppolo is right now.
I agree, Curtis.
And
I don't
think
it would
be – Yeah, so let's say you got 2 years out of them. And let's say you were able to get San Francisco that sixth ring. Would it be worth it to get rid of? Yes, it would. It would absolutely
yes, it
be
would,
worth
Gary.
It.
Yes, it would, Gary. I agree
so
with you. 100%.
I don't think
Gary,
that is something that would be absolutely ridiculous to think that they wouldn't consider it. Because Garoppolo, he's just a, you know, he's like a Trent Dilfer guy. He's just going to be there, as far as I'm concerned. He's not.
Let me
he's
ask
never
you
going to be.
I agree.
He's never going to be a great. He's never going to be a great quarterback. He's just going to be a journeyman quarterback, and he was
he's
the weak spot of that team.
Yep.
Let me ask you this question though. You said that about San Francisco. Let's bring it home to you for Dallas. Would you get rid of Dak to have Tom Brady for a year or two and sacrifice the next decade for another ring? Would you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
But it wouldn't be for a decade. It wouldn't be for a decade. Maybe. If we were able to get Tom Brady and I thought that would be the difference between whether or not we got that sixth Super Bowl. I would love to have that sixth Super Bowl. Those are hard to come by, and it's been a hell of a long time for us Cowboy fans. Yes, I would.
I hear you.
I said we would. If Tom Brady came to the Cowboys, the Cowboys would be on TV every 16 weeks of the NFL season.
That's what happened anyway. Yeah, the Cowboys. They're going to be on TV anyway. I mean, come on, man. That's not going to move the needle. They're the Cowboys. They're going to be on TV anyway. The reason why I say a decade is if you don't have that young quarterback, you still struggle for
it. With Tom Brady, that magnifies. That magnifies. That would be ridiculous.
So you go from 13 games to 16? That's not that big of a jump. I mean, that's a lot of games still at 13. The Cowboys are going to be on TV, period. I'm just saying. They're going to be on TV, period. Who are we fooling?
Flex games, flex games, night games, night hour. No, we're having fun with this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay,
enjoy that. Good.
So the only thing that I would pose to the group is this: if not San Francisco, if he were to go to another team,
what's your percentage?
What teams do you think he would go to? Give me the two teams you think he would consider going to.
I think Tennessee would be one because his former teammate, Mike Vrabel. Obviously, I think that would be up for some consideration. Ryan Tannehill is also a free agent as well. I think that's one to consider. I think the Chargers is another one to consider. And I'll tell you what, I mentioned this on the show last week. In the event he does leave New England, which I still don't think is going to happen, you got to consider the Colts in that offensive line, you know, as far as keeping them healthy. I mean, that's one of the best offensive lines in the league. And so I would think you definitely consider the Colts.
Is Giselle moving to Indianapolis? I don't think so. Giselle's not moving to Indianapolis.
You talk about weapons and all the complaints that Tom Brady had. Tom Brady, you put him with Mike Evans and that kid from Penn State and O.J. Howard, the tight end. I mean, he can't complain about weapons no more. He might complain about his defense.
That'd be better weapons than he had this year.
Yes, he would. Don't forget about Tampa. That they have weapons at the wide receiver position. They have weapons.
Tampa's another one.
Where do you want to live at? Your question is where do you want to live? I think I agree with what Curtis is saying, even though Gary hit some good points. But it is where you want to live. You know, where do you want to be? You know, if you've always been a California person, that may be a good time. You've been in Michigan. You've been all this place. You know, let's go to a place I want to be at. You know, that's why there are some rumors. I agree, though. It's not. I don't know how much legs there are with this, but at least you want to consider this is where I'd like to be, you know, at the end, you know, and I maybe want to play two more years, not one more year. That is something to.
He's rich. He can live where he wants.
You know? He can train somewhere.
You know what? And you're right about that because, you know, he spent all this time in New England and he's really just sick and tired of his, Butler shoveling snow for him every year.
Sorry, I
throw that out there.
That was good.
You know, we're shoveling our own snow, okay?
Yeah.
Let's keep
Bill ain't shoveling no snow either.
Right.
That's true.
Where Kraft is. Kraft's in Florida in a flop house.
Nothing wrong with that.
Let him get his kicks off, man. All right, guys. So let's talk about this. Nothing wrong with it at the end of the day. What's going to happen with OBJ? I try to get really fast off that, JQ. You don't have to spend a lot of time on that. What's going to happen with OBJ? And then speaking of, I'm going to let Curtis talk about that and Gary as far as where. Is this the end of Jameis? Is he going to be actually playing the XFL? So you got two opportunities to talk about that. Go ahead, Buster.
Well, I mean, what was his touchdown to interception? Wasn't it like 30 and 30? You know,
yes, it was.
That's not a recipe for success. And, yeah, he's a gunslinger, and I guess he's not really as accurate. And so he could be playing in the XFL. You know, if he's not willing to take a position as a backup in the NFL, he could be a starter in the XFL. I would say I'd rather be a backup in the NFL myself. I would be excellent at carrying a clipboard, by the way.
There's two of them. There's two of them in jeopardy of not being in the NFL at all. Jameis Winston and Mariota.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they came up together. And
thank you for that
play. They may have to take their money and go set up a chicken. If they're not going to pay in the XFL, you know, set up a chicken wing stop place in their hometown.
Mm-mm.
And wings and beer. And Mariota and Jameis Winston.
That sounds like a thank you kind of joint.
Come on, then.
Yes, it does.
Wings and beer. Mariota's wings and beer.
But I tell you what.
Sounds like an excellent JQ joint.
I tell you what.
Go ahead, man.
This NFL offseason, there is the supply of NFL quarterbacks is more than the demand. So that's going to be real curious. There are more free agent quarterbacks available than what the demand is calling for, to be totally honest with you. And so that's going to be really, really interesting. I mean, when you think about what teams or an actual need of a starting quarterback right now, you can say the Chargers. Phillip Rivers is not coming back.
High draft pick.
Yeah, they got a high draft pick. So, I mean, what's the realistic chance that they're going to go out and sign a veteran quarterback? They got Tyrod Taylor, maybe getting a young quarterback coming in. The Bears pretty much said they want to bring in a veteran to compete with Mitch Trubisky. You got Tampa. What do you do? I mean, you either bring back Winston, or if you sign somebody else, where does that leave Winston? So it's like, Mariota, Andy Dalton. You know the Bengals are going with Joe Burrow now. Where do all of these quarterbacks go? I mean, the supply is greater than demand, and I can't ever remember experiencing that in the NFL like we're going to see this offseason. So I think you're absolutely right, Curtis. You might see one or two of these guys either have to hang it up or go be a backup somewhere or go play in the XFL or the Canadian Football League.
I'm also hearing this prime opportunity
for Phillip Rivers to be one of those guys just to go ahead and exit the league.
Yeah.
Nah, he's going to play
again. I'm hearing that Tampa Bay is interested in that quarterback that New Orleans got. And he is the exact opposite of Jameis Winston.
He's
going to
take care of the ball.
Yeah, and you know what you're missing also on that? You're absolutely right. And those guys are going to have to be content to be a backup because you say that about this year. And you say, okay, yeah, all you talk about these teams like Cincinnati, Miami, you know, Detroit might also do something because Stafford is not no spring chicken as well, the Chargers. And then you talk about next year, well, then you get Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence coming out in the top 10 as well. So even if you say I'm going to just pay my dues and be a backup for a year, maybe go to Team X. Well, Team X might be bad, and you'll get one of those two guys, and then you're in the same boat next year. So, yeah, we haven't seen this before where you normally have, you know, more quarterbacks available than you can, you know, shake a stick at. And I think those guys right now are running into a really tough time in terms of the quarterback market, like you talked about, Rob, and the jobs available. I mean, you know, the teams that need a quarterback or want a quarterback they either are drafting high in the draft or they can get over a year and get one of those couple guys I just talked about next year. So you don't really have a path to go somewhere else and just ascend to a job.
Yeah. And I tell you what, the Saints, Bridgewater, probably going to lose Bridgewater. Obviously, I think everybody knows that now. He may have an opportunity to be a starter. But if the Saints keep Taysom Hill along with Drew Brees, the Saints are going to look for another quarterback too. And the reason why I say that is, if you're going to continue to let Taysom Hill play all over the field and run special teams, you don't want your backup quarterback continuing to do all of that. You're going to have to have another quarterback in the building just for safety purposes to allow Taysom Hill to do all of those things that he has been able to do here in the last few years. So whether that be in a draft, as a matter of fact, I have the Saints taking Jacob Eason in the first round now, my latest mock draft.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, it really is interesting with the just abundance of quarterbacks that are out there.
And free agency.
And then in the draft, too, you know.
There could be five quarterbacks coming out in the first round. Quarterbacks coming out in that first round. And then there's, how many free agents? Yeah, this is what we're going to see, how smart teams are. And I've already got a minus on smarts with Trubisky in Chicago.
You don't say.
Minus on smarts.
Damn.
Curtis, that was good. I like that.
Go ahead, Dre.
Oh, I got nothing. I mean, we got a glutton for, you know, and I think what's really going to, what we're going to decide on this is, as we see these quarterbacks come out of the draft, then is that going to drive the market down?
Well, there's a new CBA coming, and that's scaring everybody. What's going to happen, especially because you got Pat Mahomes, that might end up with a Brinks truck pulling up to the Kansas City Stadium. There's a new CBA coming right around the corner.
Yeah. Hey, can we talk about OBJ, though? I would love OBJ to Green Bay. OBJ to Green Bay would be a game changer. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I saw that trade room, and I was like, ooh. You put OBJ with Devontae Adams, with Aaron Rodgers for the next two or three years, if OBJ falls in line. Hey, with Aaron Jones at running back, they enter themselves into the equation.
Yeah. I think I said this on the show recently, but I don't think OBJ is the OBJ he was when he first came in the league first couple of years. I think he still helps some teams, but I don't think he's that superstar wide receiver anymore that we once saw when he first came in the league first 3 to 4 years.
Well, if you pair him with Devontae Adams for Aaron Rodgers, and now OBJ is your second wide receiver, and you got Devontae on the other side, man, listen, that's a problem. He's still a very good, high-end second wide receiver. That is a problem.
Yeah, Rob, you're not representing LSU now? The OBJ?
I'm just saying. He might not be a number one, but if you give him Devontae Adams on the other side, and he gets more single covers than he's ever seen in his life because Devontae Adams is over there, ugh.
Well, that's true, He gives somebody, give him a lead receiver. I just don't think he's that guy anymore. I just don't. I don't think he's that guy anymore.
Well, I think he thinks he's still that prima donna, which I guess you want your guys to have confidence. But you also want them, if you've been traded and you've had issues, you want a guy that's willing to step back and say, hey, I gotta make some adjustments in my career and be that second option or whatever. If he doesn't appear to me to be that guy that is willing to relinquish that role. I may be wrong, but that's my opinion. What do you think, Curtis?
I think that Cleveland, for OBJ's sake, needs to be winning some games in a really tough division. And I think his unhappiness is due to the fact that they're not winning. With him still with the Browns, though, it's still an issue for teams to deal with their weaponry that Baker Mayfield has. When you prepare for Cleveland, you got to prepare for multiple skilled offensive players that can hurt you. And OBJ fits that bill. Now, what I saw in this combine, I saw some guys that were 330 pounds running 4.7s and 4.6s. Cleveland needs to be looking at some of those guys for left tackle and right tackle. And let's get it on.
I hope not. I hope they draft a freaking backup long snapper.
Nice. Yes. That was
beautiful. My bad. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
The QB having some issues. That's hilarious. Nah, we'll keep it moving. We'll keep it moving. Hey, Rob, you know that the Winston loves seafood, man. So he's coming to JQ. Jameis Winston loves seafood, so he's going to the Saints, by the way. So there you go. Hey, Rob, go ahead and take the mic draft, if you will. Go ahead, Rob.
Who's going to the Saints?
Jameis Winston. He loves
seafood. He got that LASIK for you, baby. He got that LASIK, that 2020.
Oh, man.
Well, this could be in the year.
But I definitely think the Saints are going to get another quarterback somewhere or the other, whether it's draft or free agency. And that's just so they can still utilize Taysom Hill. Until Taysom is a starter, they're going to try to utilize him in that role as much as possible. That's the mock draft. First two picks still to change. Burrow, Chase Young. The big change, Isaiah Simmons, linebacker Clemson. 4.39 40. They can play all over the field, a edge rush inside. He also moved drop back into the safety position. I have him at the 3 spot now to the Detroit Lions. Jeff Okuda put him down to number 4. I personally like Justin Herbert better, but it seems as though Miami, if they can't get Joe Burrow, wants to go the Tua route and thinks he's still got more upside. So I have him at the number 5 position. Minor trade. You got Derek Brown going to Carolina. Carolina moving up to 6 to take Brown. Chargers drop back to take Justin Herbert there. I got CeeDee Lamb to the Jets at 11. Judy to the Colts at 13. Got Grant Delpit to Denver. Kalavon Chase on to Atlanta. Christian Fulton from Dallas. And Henry Ruggs, the third, the fastest wide receiver in the draft. Got him going to 18 to Miami. Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State. I'm sorry? Yeah, with Tua. Matter of fact, I got Miami taking 3 Alabama players in the first round. They're taking Xavier McKinney, safety from Alabama at 26. I got Jordan Love, quarterback from Utah State, intriguing prospect. Got him going to New England at 23. Got Jacob Eason, quarterback Washington, going to New Orleans. And got Patrick Queen, LSU linebacker, going to Tennessee. I got the Bengals trading back into the first round. Let's take Guitar Gross-Matos, edge rusher from Penn State at 31, and have the Chiefs taking Justin Jefferson at 32 overall.
Oh, my God. If the Chiefs get Justin Jefferson, well, bye-bye Sammy Watkins. Yeah, bro, we're not bringing you back on that $18 million cap hit. You can go ahead and just go shop your services. The Bengals, if they trade back in, what I've been reading is they love Patrick Queen from LSU at linebacker. They need another linebacker desperately. I don't know if Tennessee would trade that pick to let them have that, but I've heard a lot of scuttlebutt about them trading back to get Patrick Queen as well. But that'd be crazy. If you get Ruggs and Tua to Miami and they just signed oh, my goodness, what's the other wide receiver? They just signed into an extension. And you pair them with Tua. You know, Miami has a chance. You know, if you get enough number one picks, you got a chance to reload your team.
Absolutely. They got 5 picks in the first 2 rounds. And we look at the second round, I got them taking Bryson Hopkins, tight end from Purdue, at 39. You got them taking Solomon Kinley, offensive guard from Georgia, the second round pick. He got him taking Cam Akers, running back Florida State in the third round.
Ooh. Man, if they let Miami do that, that's nasty. That's nasty.
That would be definitely a heck of a draft for him.
Yes, it would.
A heck of a haul.
This draft, it's going to, like I said, I'm so curious, and I just want to see how smart, what I'm going to feel, how smart teams are and how much knowledge they have and how much they want to give the fans what they want and compete. And, like, I'm really thinking we're going to get hit with left hooks and right crosses. And all this mock stuff is going to go up in flames. It's going to be surprise.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob, for all your hard work.
There's a lot of people around the country doing that. There's a lot of people around the country doing it. And I think that Garoppolo thing is part of this draft stuff. I think people are lying to people all over the place on teams. Oh, God. I think
this is definitely
mock
draft season, but yeah, you better believe it.
Yeah.
Everybody's mock draft is going to be screwed at some point in the draft, come mock draft. But it's definitely mock draft season. Everybody's doing them.
Yeah, and we appreciate you, bro. This is a good father.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought process there. We appreciate it.
And let's see who's got the brains in the NFL. Let's
that draft from Miami, though, is sick.
Everyone's lying. Yeah.
Yeah,
Miami's going to be good. And a lot of draft. And like I said, you know, there's going to be a lot of moves. Ironically, JQ, it looks like the Patriots have been linked up to signing Andrew, you know, Dalton, as well as freaking the Bears. Nobody knows what's happening, man. So, again, free agency's first. You know, we'll see how that plays out. And you got the draft. So, this is going to fit a lot of things, too, as we talked about.
And the Patriots. Bill Belichick loves Andy Dalton for some reason that I just can't understand. But he loves Andy Dalton.
Crazy.
I've been reading the article. I mean, it's wild. He loves Andy Dalton. Like, that
he
might be a little landing spot for him.
He probably went with him, too.
Probably
that,
will.
Man, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I want to talk about it anymore.
All right, Rob. JQ
I guess you know I'm telling the truth.
That's what I want to talk about anymore.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. Hey, let's talk about your possible future quarterback, JQ. Or who would you want as your quarterback, excuse me, for the next 10 years? Would you want Joe Burrow or someone else? I'm going to kick it to Rob. JQ, say that, and then, again, West Coast, you guys can say your thoughts, too. So who would you want as your QB for the next 10 years? Is it Joe Burrow or is it somebody else? Go ahead.
I think it's for me. You know, obviously, as much as I like Joe Burrow, if I had my pickings of anybody, it's got to be Patrick Mahomes, right? When you look at what he's able to do, creating plays, moving in the pocket, running, throwing a ball down the field, arm strength, he's got the football IQ. And I think for me, you know, if I had to take anybody, you know, he's already proven it. You know, he's won the Super Bowl already in his third year in the league. If you're going to give me anybody, if you're going to give me anybody, it's got to be Patrick Mahomes for me.
Yeah, but I think you misconstrued the question. I think, yes, anything, most people would say that. But in terms of quarterbacks coming out, quarterbacks on the free agent market, everybody would love to have Patrick Mahomes. And Rob posed an interesting question to me. And this is why I would say that I wouldn't be so overly hurt if the Bengals traded back with the Dolphins and took their shits and giggles, their first three first-round picks to move up, because we just talked about what Miami would be able to do in the first round. I think the Bengals can do the same thing, and they have so many holes that as much as I would like for them to have Joe Burrow, hometown kid, you know, he's a winner. I love his moxie. I love his mindset. Don't get me wrong. But it's still a gamble at one to take a quarterback because it doesn't always pan out. But if you can improve other areas on your team in terms of three picks versus one pick, I'm not overly mad if they make that decision. But in terms of quarterbacks coming out and, you know, free agent quarterbacks right now, yeah, I would rather have Joe Burrow. I would. I think he just has it. And, you know, it's hard to to quantify that it factor and what he could do for that franchise being an Ohio kid and just galvanize that team and that whole Southern Ohio, because Northern Ohio is going to be Cleveland. And it just is what it is. They're going to love the Browns to the day they die, and that's fine. It's cool. But Southern Ohio and those places that love the Bengals, the places where they don't even love, they don't like them. Maybe they like the Bengals right now because they suck. You know, what he could do for that franchise, yeah, you take Joe Burrow unless somebody makes you a godfather offer.
Yeah, and I think if you're Cincinnati, I mean, it's got to be hard for you to trade this pick. Number one, you're getting the kid that you're bringing back home. I mean, you got to think about it from a box office perspective, too. This could be a home run for the Cincinnati Bengals. So, I mean, you better come with 15 picks if you're going to convince Cincinnati to trade this pick, because you got to look at it from that perspective, too. Yeah, you got to look at it from that perspective. I think you're getting a guy that come in and change your franchise, but plus he's going to be a hit at the box office in Cincinnati. You're bringing a hometown kid back to the state, and that's going to be hard for you to trade.
No, agreed. It's got to be a godfather offer. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be a godfather kind of offer. But I'll only bring up the point of to your work on the mock draft, and I'm looking at those three Miami picks in the first round like, you know, if you give me those three Alabama kids and two of them on the offensive skill position that know each other, and I'm going to franchise A.J. Green, and I'm going to have Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon in the backfield, like, I'm not overly hurt if you maybe miss out on Joe Burrow being generational, if you think Tua can still be, you know, not Ben Roethlisberger, but, you know, a comparable piece to a top player. Like, well, that dude still won some championships. He might not have been the GOAT, but, you know, if you're the Bengals, hell, getting one championship is something. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to fill multiple holes and still bring excitement, because don't get it twisted. If they bring in Ruggs and Tua, those Bengals fans, me included, are going to be excited as well. Will we be more excited with Burrow? I don't know, absolutely, because he's a hometown kid. But if you give them a godfather offer where they can fill multiple holes to knowledgeable Bengals fans, and you still give them that excitement of two guys that have won in big games and the two in the Rugs, you know, we're not going to be so mad. But now, don't give us those picks and we do something stupid with them, then, yeah, you get traditional Bengals just ire and misery.
Well, this Burrows kid, he's I think he's going to be special. And I think that if Cincinnati doesn't take him, you know, he's one of those guys that'll probably come back, and every time, you know, he plays he's going to be one of those guys that's going to try and rip your heart out.
Yes.
You know, every once in a while you get those guys that just, man, they want to remember Randy Moss. Every time he played, all those teams that passed him up in the draft, and the Cowboys were one of them. He just, oh my God, he just killed us. And it was,
nuts.
He put three guys on him, and he would just dominate, you know. That's what I think is what I would be afraid of most, is making a multi-trade and then having that guy come back and just rip you up every chance he possibly can.
I'm
going with smarts, and I heard Joe Burrow talk to the administration in Cincinnati and told them, get me this,
on AJ.
Get me that.
Yeah.
You know,
he said you
we're going to need
AJ.
We're going to need this. Yeah, we're going to need that. And I like that idea. And you're talking about 10 years. The only other my perfect quarterback is Russell Wilson. I think every quarterback in the league needs to learn how to play like Russell Wilson plays. So what I'm going to say to that, the same kind of way that we have this thing going with Joe Burrow and what he needs and how good he can be, I'm looking at that guy in Arizona. I think it's the same thing. You have to have the same conversation about him. What can you do for that man? And I've seen that man live. And that man, 10 years, he can be a great pro quarterback for you. But you got to get him. You got to get him some help. You got to get him a team, a defense, and that he can win some games with.
I like Christian Kirk, though. I do. I like Christian Kirk. He's not in the mold of Larry Fitzgerald in terms of the prototype of Bill, but Christian Kirk is a dude. And, yeah, but he needs a lot of help. Like, I don't know if they're going to do with King and Drake and how that plays out with not Johnson, the other running back they just signed, how that figures out how to do the backfield. But I agree with you. I think he can be a good player for Arizona as well. Well, and I get what you guys are saying about Joe Burrow. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be a godfather offer. And not only does it have to be a godfather offer, you have to hit on all those picks to make it worth it, right? So that puts more pressure on the Bengals that if you trade them, you get all these picks that you have to hit on every pick to make it worth your while as a franchise. Because if Joe Burrow goes somewhere else and balls out, that's going to be a stain of you had every opportunity to take him. You were number one and you didn't. So I get what you're saying. That's why I say it has to be, it has to be a godfather kind of offer. And you still have to think about it and really know who you're going to draft with those picks you're going to get.
There it is. All right, gentlemen. We got literally about 4 minutes here. I want to talk about some NBA here. I definitely want to throw out is Luka Doncic a young LeBron James by JQ? And then, we'll get that quick Zion Williams and Luka Doncic update by Rob. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think, Luka should take the same road that Joe Burrow took. And that's, hey, man, don't compare me to that guy. You know, this guy has done all these things in the league. I'm not there yet. Don't compare me to him. Luka's a beast, though, and I see Trey trying to do his thing to kind of remedy that argument of you shouldn't have traded Luka for me and whatnot. But yeah, he's a monster, though. I mean, Luka's a beast, and Rob can talk about it because he's watching him every day on his fantasy team. But Luka's is an absolute beast. But I just think you do these guys just as such a disservice so early on in their career by comparing them to greats that have won titles and MVPs. They said they're going to be that next guy. Just let them be them.
Rob?
Yeah, and you talk about, Luka Doncic. I tell you, he's very versatile, man. The guy can get to the bucket. He can score it. He can shoot the three-pointer. He makes his teammates better. So, in a lot of ways, to me, he reminds me of a Larry Bird with handles. But, he's got that size where he can look over the defender, too. So I could see the Magic Johnson and LeBron in him as well. But I think the reason why I put him in the Larry Bird category is because of his shooting ability. To me, he's a much better shooter. He's a much better shooter than Magic and LeBron was. But definitely a major, major basketball player. He's been off and on hurt this season. Maybe that's a little bit of concern. But when he is healthy, man, he is a flat-out baller. And if he can stay healthy, he's going to be in the MVP conversation in this league for a long time.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's a special player. I mentioned that last year on this show that, I saw him play here in Portland, and I thought, man, this guy's just got – he's just got it. I mean, he can shoot from the logo. He can drive. He can pass. He's just got it all. He's smart. He does. He is a kind of a combination player. I don't put him necessarily with Larry Bird yet or some of those greats. But boy, I think he's approaching that category fast. That's my thought. What do you think?
LeBron James said it best. This league is in good shape.
Yep. Yeah,
ladies
right.
and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back on the air next Wednesday night again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you guys want to get the rest of the show, the OT portion, click on the same link as early as tomorrow. You get the rest of the show as we wrap up our sports night with some either NBA and NFL coverage. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Yeah, and Cincinnati, hey, man, make the damn tournament, man. I mean, they're in the last four to be out. And I know everybody, thanks for listening to the show and all that good stuff. Make the tournament, man. Please help me help you as a fan. Make the tournament. Make some noise in the ACC tournament. Do something. Please, for the love of Christ. Good night, people.
Good night, people.
Help me.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. How are you gonna help them?
by my viewing dollars and my buying, you know how I am. I'm gonna have all kind of crazy Cincinnati stuff. Like, I need them to make it worth my while, so I feel like I'm a part of it.
Okay, you guys. How many Republicans does it take to change a light bulb?
Uh-oh.
How many?
Zero. They just blame it on Obama.
That's good.
We are. Gary's been watching Fox News.
I love it. We have a couple more topics before we wrap this up, man. It's been a great show. And I know we want to ask about, were you surprised about Tim Duncan, the interim over Becky Hammon, and talk about that. And then we can literally talk about how injuries have hurt, or if they have hurt, the NBA season. And then if you do want to, again, go back to freaking XFL and Landry Jones against the Houston Roughnecks, you have that opportunity too. So I'll let you start, Rob. Go around the horn, and then we can wrap the show up. So go ahead, gentlemen.
Well, yeah, obviously – when you look at, you know, what's going on from an NBA perspective with the injuries this season, I don't think it's ruined the league, but we have had our fair share of star players who get hurt. When you talk about a Paul George, when you talk about a Zion Williamson, we just talked about Luka Doncic, and he's been in and out of lineups here in the last few weeks. And now when you look at the Sixers, you got Joel Embiid, you got Ben Simmons. And you look at the Warriors, you got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. So it has had its fair share of injuries. Now Kyrie Irving is out for the Nets. So overall, you've had a lot of injuries. But I still think the season is still going to be very compelling, especially when we go down to the playoffs here. When you look at the Clippers and the Lakers, when you look at the Rockets, I mean, can they play in the playoffs with that small ball? I think it's still going to be very intriguing. When you look at the Bucks, can they get over the hump? You know, they got stymied in the playoffs last year offensively. And, you know, can they get over the hump as well? Can Miami go far in the playoffs? Can the Celtics go far? So it's still going to be a very intriguing season for it. Oh, my goodness, Luka Doncic. Damn. Just hit a three. But anyway, I'm sorry about that. But, yeah, I think, you know, overall I still think it's going to be some very competitive basketball. Even with the injuries that we have seen this season. And then when you look at the MVP conversation, I think LeBron is getting back in it for sure. But if you ask me, I think it's still Giannis. When you look at this dude, the other night, 41 points and 20 rebounds, I was like, shucks. Yeah. Now, you know, LeBron is definitely getting back in the conversation. But for me, it's still Giannis. And the yeah, I was shocked to see Tim Duncan as an interim head coach. I really was. I didn't think, you know, his first season as assistant, that it would put him in that role right away. So that was a little bit of a shock for me. And I think that's and I don't think the Clippers are the favorite to win it all. They're in contention, but not the favorites.
Go ahead.
It didn't really surprise me too much with this whole Tim Duncan thing. I thought when they brought him in as an assistant, I thought, you know what, he always just, you know, listened, and he always took in exactly what Popovic wanted him to do. And I think he's just that perfect guy for that type of a thing. To maybe he'll be the next coach. Maybe he'll be that guy that comes in and when, you know, Pop's not long for this league, I don't think. So with that said, maybe he's the next guy in line. Maybe they just showed that early.
It's hard to have a topic about injuries hurting the NBA when you're talking to us in Portland, Oregon. we have had up profitable, and it's been awful. It's almost the injuries that have almost cost the Portland Trailblazers this season. And now we're dealing with, can Nurkic come back? Can Rodney Hood come back? Can that boy from Gonzaga come back? And should they, are the Blazers even going to make the playoffs? And the Blazers are still in the hunt with the Ja Morant, with the Zion Williamson, with some of these young guys that are trying to get in the playoffs in this West. But if the Blazers don't make the playoffs, their reason is going to be the injuries that we sustained through this year of 2020. And like I said, right now with the last 18 games left, we're seeing Zion, we're seeing Lucas Doncic, we're seeing all these young kids, because all these young kids is trying to reach for the same thing out here in the West. So this is kind of a good time, but it's a hard subject about injuries here in Portland, Oregon.
We just got Dame back tonight. Dame played tonight. We're about ready to close. We're beating Washington by 11 now, 12 in the fourth quarter. But to not have, you know, four of your starters out there at the beginning of the season for periods of time, that's, and three of them for almost the whole season, that's been tough. I think that's, you know, right. And every team deals with injuries.
Right.
But, yeah, it is definitely it's been a challenging year for us. But I want to pose one question for you guys right now. I think Whiteside has done a fantastic job here in Portland. I think his double-doubles are up. He's he averages almost 14 rebounds a game and, I don't know, 14 or 15 points. And I think he's the number one shot blocker in the league. If you had to choose between him and Nurk going forward and you had to pick one of them, which one would you take? Would you take Nurk next year or would you sign Whiteside?
Ooh, I think I have to see how Nurk is doing when he comes back from his injury.
Yeah. I'd say I like Whiteside too, but and I was gonna say really quickly, even though you guys didn't have Dame versus Atlanta, that was a good win, man. I didn't think y'all could get out of that, man, too. So we were able to beat you guys, man, which is one of our best games ever, man. So just a little FYI. Had to stick that in there.
You had to? You just had to?
I just had to. Especially all the love for Luka, man, and Trey, you know, he gets some love, but it's like, man, you know, he's never gonna get that too. But you know, hopefully you guys saw that was one of our better games, too. And against a really good, you know, obviously, I don't take the Blazers lightly by any means, man. You know, but for us, that was one of our best games, too. So, but I like
that. Yeah, it was
great. Yeah, like I said. Yeah, good. Good.
I do think, for me personally, I like Whiteside better because he's just a way better rim protector. You know, he's
Yeah.
You know, I like him. I like him. And, you know, and a lot of times when Nurkic would go up for a little, you know, flip to the rim or whatever, you know, that's a time where Whiteside would just dunk it and you don't have to worry about it, you know.
Yep.
But I personally like Whiteside better.
Nice.
I hope that because you don't know what you're going to get right now. And the reason why I say that is that severe injury, he could come back, and he probably will, but how much of it is going to be in his head after that kind of an injury?
Part. Yep. You know,
the psychological part. Not just, like right now with Whiteside, he's got 20 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 blocks.
Yeah,
that's
like
a solid
game
at your center position.
I agree, Gary, 100%, man. All right, gentlemen, what do you got last thing to say as we get ready to wrap this up for the East Coasters and our Central? What you got? What's your last thing to say? Anything
well,
else?
For me, I'm going to be on the bobsled tomorrow. That's all I'm saying.
And if Dan is going in for surgery, and I got to be in the hospital too.
Okay. We'll be praying for you, man. As always, both of you guys.
We'll be praying for both of you all. Everything goes well.
I want to say a couple things. If anybody has family in the Memphis area or have friends in the Memphis area, I want to do a little bit of a shout-out on our sports cast. I feel for what happened down there. I was born in Wichita Falls, Texas, Red River Valley, Tornado Alley. When I was a senior in high school, there was every other summer had tornadoes that were killing people in Wichita Falls when I was a senior, junior, senior in high school. And it was just a horrible, horrible thing to go through, especially tornadoes that come in the middle of the night. Horrible. And the other thing I want to touch on, I heard this today and I saw it again on TV. Spike Lee, I think Spike Lee should have went. There's been a couple of guys here in Portland that just told the Portland Trailblazers when we had the Jailblazers, they called them, that they told the Blazer administration that they were not going to renew their season tickets. They were not going to be fans of the Portland Trailblazers anymore. And it sent a message. It sent a message to the people that the business people in Portland, Oregon Trailblazers. And Spike Lee probably should have went that route. Here's my season tickets back. You bums. I'm not coming to another. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
that's all we got here in the West.
Yeah, at this juncture, I mean, there's only so much you can. There's a thin line between love and hate, man. Whenever you just hate as far as what the organization is doing, you don't feel like they're making any progress. I will say that I know this is probably music to Rob's ears. As a Falcon fan, I'm not a fan of everything they're doing. I'm like, man, you know, so it really is, you know, you're kind of like, I don't know. You know, whenever you see other organizations doing better things, and you're just like, man, I don't know. It makes things tough. So you can keep taking it, and you can literally be like, yo, I'm going to keep – I mean, Spike Lee's been, 40, 50 years at least, man. He's been a fan, and you don't see any, like, hope in the horizon. That mess gets old. So I agree with you, Curtis. That's definitely something that you got the power. You're like, yo, y'all got to change because this is getting old. What's with you, Rob? Anything else about that?
I'm sorry?
Anything else you want to say about that or no?
Nope, I think I've added everything. We talked about the XFL, Landry Jones out 2 more weeks. Obviously, the Dallas team was getting off to a rough start. But Houston Roughnecks, 4-0. P.J. Walker might get another shot in the NFL. He's playing well. But ultimately, praying for you guys, Gary and Curtis, everything goes well. Keep us in the post.
Yep.
Keep us posted how things are going. But definitely praying everything goes well for you guys.
Good.
All right.
Good
well,
job.
We appreciate it. We appreciate you guys.
Well,
yeah,
thank
JQ unfortunately got kicked off in the thing, man. So you didn't hear his wonderful analysis of everything too. But he'll be back on obviously next week. And gentlemen, you guys have a great, great week as well, man. Again, as Rob said, we're gonna be praying for you guys for surgeries, and then also as you said to Curtis about Memphis and tornadoes. That's kind of a tough thing too. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Because we always got to remember, life is short. So much love for you guys. Please be safe. And let's keep it going. Have a great week, guys.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.
Good night, America.
Yeah.